Well, thank you, Dan. I want to start out by reading several scriptures to kind of, well, they may seem a little bit unrelated, and they're scriptures that probably you could almost preach a sermon on each one, but that's not what I'm going to do. I want to emphasize a point that each one brings out, and then I want to read you some of the things that occurred that we'll read out of the Acts of the Apostles. In the 16th chapter of Proverbs, beginning at the first verse, it says, "The preparations of the heart in man and the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weigheth the spirits. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil." And I'd like to choose one more, and it's also from Proverbs. And one of the reasons that I go to this is to show you that these moral issues, they're not blood sacrifices or anything like that, but the moral issues have never changed with God. That's another one of those ways that you can say he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'll begin at the 16th verse of this sixth chapter of Proverbs. "These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him: a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren." I'm going to read one now out of the 12th chapter of 2 Nephi. And to give you a little bit of the context of what it is saying, I'm going to start about the 10th verse, so it shows you that it is a prophecy of things that are being done. "And there shall also be many that shall say, eat, drink, and be merry, nevertheless fear God. He will justify in committing a little sin, yea, lie a little, take advantage of one because of his words, dig a pit for thy neighbor. There is no harm in this. And do all these things, for tomorrow we die. And if it so be that we are guilty, God will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we shall be saved in the kingdom of God. Yea, and there shall be many which shall teach after this manner, false and vain and foolish doctrines, and shall be puffed up in their hearts, and shall seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord. And their works shall be in the dark, and the blood of the saints shall cry from the ground against them. Yea, they have all gone out of the way. They have become corrupted because of pride and because of false teachers and false doctrine. Their churches have become corrupted. Their churches are lifted up, Because of pride, they are puffed up. They rob the poor because of their fine sanctuaries. They rob the poor because of their fine clothing. And they persecute the meek and the poor in heart, because in their pride, they are puffed up. They wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few. And wouldn't we like to just really confine it to that, where it says, save it be a few, which are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led, that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. With these things in our mind, I would like to read now from beginning, I believe it's in the fourth chapter of the Acts of the Apostles. No, let's back up to the third. Because there are things, now these are miracles, and I'm not trying to diminish the fact that it is indeed a miracle that we're reading about. But I'd like to show you what's being done and what's being shown to these Jews. The care and patience that God has and to try to show these people that they're headed in the wrong direction. When Jesus was here and was born and was raised, this child, because of the situation that they got themselves in, and I'm not going to say I would blame it entirely on the Jews, and yet, well, let me reword that. Always the devil is involved. Always. But they let him influence them and guide them away from those basic things that God had shown them. And the thing that I'd like you to pick out from these stories that I'm going to read to you is that in the midst of this, how God is trying to show these Jews that what they're doing is wrong, the thing that they are rejecting is the thing that they need to accept, and if they don't, there's no other avenue to where they want or think they're going. I'll start at the first verse of this third chapter of the Acts. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the ninth hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, and he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. This person that was handicapped this way and recognized immediately that this was the power of the Almighty that had touched him. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power and holiness we had made this man walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I would that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before had shewed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive until the times of restoration of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, A prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with our father, saying unto Abraham, In thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. The thing I would like to say here, it keeps pointing to the fact that there was a promise given to Abraham that through his seed all the nations of the earth would be blessed. There was a responsibility attached to that that fell upon each one of the generations successively. But bringing it to our day now, by adoption, by the making of that personal covenant with the Lord, we have been adopted into the promise. And so I want to emphasize to you that as these Jews have fulfilled the meaning of the thing written in Paul's letter to second letter to the Thessalonians, that because they didn't believe the truth when it was presented to them, presented in a way miracles attending, that would attract their attention and make them realize that this was not a regular occurrence. So to reinforce themselves in the thing that they wanted to do, because later we're going to find that they took these men and put them in prison because of their preaching this Jesus Christ. Because, and another thing I would like to emphasize to you, they call as they go along that this was a holy child that grew up into a holy man. And this is a saying too that's emphasized, one of the places is in the second Nephi, the 13th chapter, where it's explaining baptism and so forth, and the fact that Jesus was baptized, and showing us that he was holy. He didn't need to be baptized because his life was stained. He needed to be baptized because his father asked him to set the example for us. So he did. Because he always, in his own words, he says he always does those things that please his father. And because of that, his father had never left him alone. That holy power was always there. People in our day, in our society, I'm not accusing you. All I'm trying to do is present to you the reality and the need that you and I have as individuals, because we are and will run into this opposition with greater force than we have encountered so far. We don't want to do anything but hold up that standard of Jesus Christ. And we don't want to be able to have the statement said to us where the Lord said to some of those that you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say. We want to be found working with all of our energy to do the things that the Lord says. Because we're trying to please God. Sometimes we'll misunderstand each other and stumble around because of it. But we must realize the one that we must please is the one that always knows exactly what happened. And so we don't need to try to explain things to him, only ask him to help we ourselves to understand how we should respond and go on from here. I'm going to continue to read now. And it says, as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved that they taught the people, that they and preached through Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, "By what power or by what name have you done this?" And Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now I'd like to emphasize a point too here. This Peter is the same man that denied Jesus three times. And the point that I want to emphasize here is that when we run into these problems, we want to know how to peacefully and firmly and boldly do the right thing. So what I'm saying here is, as we read this, we see that this same man has suffered a change. And sometimes we wonder what that change is. I'm going to tell you what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost came on them all. Now Peter has that Holy Ghost giving him courage, giving him guidance and words to use, to say, to answer these questions in the right way, to answer them in a presentation of the truth of who this Jesus Christ is, and that he is the Son of God, the Holy Messiah, that they had all looked for generations. But now we, and I'm going to emphasize this, I hope it reaches you in the same way it has me. You remember a lady by the name of Ruth. She was a Moabite. She married an Israelite, and he died. And his mother was going to go home back to her people, the Israelites. So Ruth decided she was going with her. She says, "No, go back to your people." She says, "No." I've forgotten the words right now exactly that she said, "but I can't go to my people. I have made a covenant with your God." And I need to go with you. So this lady was adopted into the flock. Did you know that that lady, according to the lineage, the way it's written down, folded right into the bloodline that came down to this Jesus Christ that we talk about? That's how much that adoption means. That's how far-reaching and comprehensive it is. We are a Gentile nation. We have promised to serve this Lord and his Christ to the end of our lives. We cannot let ourselves fall into the trap that these Jews at Jerusalem did. We have that responsibility to hold up that standard of Jesus Christ, realizing that it is a holy standard. And when I say holy, that doesn't mean holy. It means purified, radiant presentation of the truth. Holy in the eyes of God. So now we see that here, now we read it several times out of the Book of Mormon, but we hear Peter presenting that same idea. There is not another name under heaven whereby man can have salvation except this Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now, I'll read this 13th verse again. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus, not realizing that there was a promise that when you find yourself in this position, that the Holy Spirit would come upon you and it will give you answers and the right words to say. And Peter was having that happen. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle has been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Why in the world would they feel that way? Why wouldn't they accept the truth of this? They realized that it was a miracle, and yet they still were trying to conspire. And that's why I read the one in Proverbs in the 6th chapter, or rather the first 16th chapter, where it says, though hand join in hand, he shall not go unpunished. You can gather a lot of people to go along with you and become firm in the group, but there's no safety in that, because the truth will stand. There will be a day when to this Jesus Christ every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. Nobody left out. It will happen. And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot speak the things, not but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. For the man was above 40 years old on whom this miracle of healing was shewed. Now you say, well, surely this is over. But it isn't. They haven't learned yet. And what I'm trying to say and plead with you is that you and I can learn. And being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said unto them. And it emphasizes all along here that these are the authorities in the land that are doing this. And when they heard that, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, thou art God, which hast made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, who by the mouth of thy servant David hast said, why did the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, and the Gentiles and the whole people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thine hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. The multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own. But they had all things common, and with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet. And distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyrus, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. But a certain man named Ananias, with Sapphira his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thine own? And after it was sold, was it not thine in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied to men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young men arose and wound him up and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door and shall carry thee out. Then she fell down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon the church and upon as many as heard these things. So you see, this first sin that was committed and caused Adam to fall never lost its devastating value. They were not condemned because they hadn't sold the possessions that they had. They were condemned because they presented it falsely. They lied, not to men. And that's what we have to realize. Even if we're doing it to each other, and I'm not trying to accuse all of you. Believe me, I'm not. I'm just trying to impress us and myself with the reality of these things being equally as important now as they ever have been. And that's the thing that's getting our nation in the biggest trouble it's been in its history. And you can blame it on this party or that party. And there's no need to name the parties. But they have all done some of this hand joining in hand and doing these things. We need God to help us. In that presentation there in the second Chronicle letter of chapter 7, where Solomon had finished building the temple and the Lord came to him and told him what he would do. It's very simple. He says, if the people would gather together and repent of their sins and call on him out of an honest heart, he would heal their land. That promise has never gone away. But we have, I guess the thing that I know where it talks about that entering in at the straight gate, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way and few there be that find it, we get the feeling awful alone. You know, the other day I felt alone. But I and my family and all those that had heard about it cried out to God, and we do that even in a blanket way, and it's real. And we ask God to bless our neighbors and all the needs that they have, some of them we don't even know about yet. And I found out I wasn't alone. And they did things in a record-breaking, almost short time to get the procedures done that would make me feel better. This God that we have has not turned his back on us. He is blessing us and trying to help us just like he did those people back there. He wants us to see the truth. He wants us to see the importance of abiding in his word, of encouraging each other. And if you'll notice, very often in this dissertation here, where it's talking about this story, it talks about this holy child, this Son of God called Jesus Christ. I know many of you, like I, have read the writings of Paul, and very often he goes over and over and over that he does all things through Christ, and he uses that name. Some people I've had of him and talk to me, and it seems like he wears that name out. But I guess I have learned that there's no wearing out to that name. It's a name that we have to eat and breathe. Just like Jesus said one time, his disciples asked him if he had had meat. And he said, his answer was that it was meat for him to do the will of his Father. It fed him and gave him physical strength, just like food did. Sometimes it's kind of hard to understand that. I realize that. Just like I read this, the scripture of how when the Nephi that was there when Jesus came, was asked to come forth out of the group. And he did. But he was so humbled by the experience that when he got to Jesus, he fell down, worshiped him, and kissed his feet. And Jesus had to tell him to stand up. I guess the thing I'm trying to impress us all with this evening is, after Jesus was crucified and was resurrected, and the day of Pentecost came along, for a time God was again presenting to the people the idea that this Christ was real. Let me read one more little story here. Yes. I'm going to kind of skip down to verse 28 in this fifth chapter, and says, and had told him, says, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised up Jesus, whom ye slew and hanged on a tree. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When they heard that, they were cut to the heart and took counsel to slay them. Then stood there up one in the council, a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a doctor of the law, had in reputation among all the people, and commanded to put the apostles forth a little space, and said unto them, ye men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what ye intend to do as touching these men. Apparently this man recognized, don't go too far. You're out of line. Leave them alone. Now he's going to explain why. For before these days rose up Theudas, boasting himself to be somebody, to whom a number of men, about 400, joined themselves, who was slain, and all, as many as obeyed him, were scattered and brought to naught. After this man rose up, Judas of Galilee in the days of the taxing, and drew away much people after him. He also perished, and all, even as many as obeyed him, were dispersed. And now I say unto you, refrain from these men, and let them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, ye cannot overthrow it, lest haply ye be found to fight against God. And to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles and beaten them, they commanded that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and let them go. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It's just, I guess this story impresses me. Even after he's crucified and resurrected, God took the time and the patience to show the people that the story was true. Just like he's showing us now that he is still there. And though it might look like that the thing that maybe even that's happened to me, that I could say, well, you know, it just happened. These people really have learned to do a good job. But you know, some of them told me, my son being one, but I asked around a couple other questions. And so he wasn't the only one that told me. That the heart attack that I had was in a place in the heart that affects the whole heart, not just a section of it. And therefore, it's called a widowmaker. I guess I kind of feel like you remember an old brother, Cavanus, some of you will. He had tuberculosis. And he went to hospital, and he was put in remission. And so he spent the rest of his life, and he had promised God that he would never let a year go by, that he wouldn't bear the testimony that he knew that his Creator had blessed him and caused him to be healed up so he could live the rest of his life. And if any of you have talked to him, he probably told you that same story. This Jesus Christ is not an imaginary being. And I know that I'm preaching to the choir here, and I'm glad I have him to preach to. I guess the thing that I have been impressed with is we need to be unafraid to use the names and the expressions that God has given to our predecessors in the drawing out of the story of the redemption of man. And the fact that these people must repent and come to God, and there will be a day that as a nation, they will finally do that. The thing I want to have you understand that I have been shown is in the doing of that, it will look, in the prophecies, it looks like they will just come as a nation. It doesn't happen that way. Each one of you here, me, read this word and it speaks to us. Our heart our soul is touched. And we turn and we try to serve God and we reinforce and encourage one another to do that. And it may look like there's a large group of us that come, but they all come one at a time. Each of us come. Even if we're holding hands, we still, each of us, have to decide to come. We will be blessed, but there are things we must endure. You wonder why you have to have these things happen, and I have had some people in the so-called Christian society tell me that real Christians don't have to suffer these hardships. And I'll have to ask them the question, do we learn from history? Or do we make up our own history as we go? This history of the Bible and the Book of Mormon tells me every one of the prophets of God, every one of the ones that served him, had to endure hardships, sometimes some pretty severe ones. You've all probably read the story about the two that were put in prison, and they had a whole group of the lawyer group that came and smote them and spit on them, gnashed their teeth on them even. They took all their clothes off, made them be naked in the and bound them naked in the prison. These two men, or probably more than two there, that last one, were beaten for their efforts to serve God and spread His word. So we do have to endure things. But in the enduring, it is my prayer that each one of us can touch the lives around of us with strength by that power of the Holy Spirit, that we will be able to preach the word of God with the gift and the power of the Holy Ghost. Because these words are true. They are faithful. That's another name that I hadn't used yet of this Jesus Christ. He is called in the Revelations the faithful and true witness. And you may ask yourself, well, why that name does it apply to him? He did not just come to earth. He was sent. And in the being sent, he carried a message. And that message is the gospel that we call the gospel of Jesus Christ, the plan of redemption that had been put together before the world began. He carried that message and put exclamation points in it and underlying the phrases by the miracles and the things that he endured. We cannot leave his name out of any conversation that we get in. That doesn't mean we're beating our chest on a street corner. That's not what it's all about. It's the fact that we always point to the honesty. And this last one here about Ananias and Sapphira. Remember how Jesus said in his discussion with the Jews that were challenging him, telling him that their father was Abraham? And he said, no, no. If you had really been of Abraham's seed, you would have done the things that Abraham did. But you followed somebody else, and the devil is the one that you followed, and he's a liar and the father of it. And that lie that the devil told our first parents is still as abhorrible with God as it was the first day. All of these things last right on through. Those principles of moral behavior. Thank you so much for listening to me. I pray that God will help you in your lives, that we'll all draw closer to Him, because I know that if we draw closer to Him, we'll be closer to each other. God be with you.